Welcome back to another episode of Diamond Gems. Thank you for joining us. I am Jacob, and I am here with my brother and co-host, Isaac, and we are going to talk some baseball today. If you are new to the show, thank you for joining us. Please like and subscribe, leave a kind review. We are on Instagram at Diamond Gems Podcast and at Shaped by Sports. And we also have a YouTube channel.
We also have a YouTube
page if you're not watching this on YouTube. So that's Shaped by Sports as well. That's our channel. So if you prefer video, if you're listening on audio, there is video options. So just so you know. And also we put out like other videos on there that aren't just like podcasts and stuff. So go check it out. Isaac, how are you?
I'm great. I'm still thawing out from being at work this morning. In the pouring rain.
Yeah, you got soaked.
Yeah. It's brutal. Great time.
In contrast, it's so sunny here that I had to put the blinds down so that it didn't blow it out.
It's pouring. Like, it's flooded. The earth is flooded here. It's over.
I got that famous Montreal sun everyone always talks about, you know? Land of the sunshine, Montreal, Quebec.
Who calls it that? And when is that famous there?
Nobody. That was the joke. It's rare that we have, like, this much sun.
And yeah. The broken French.
Yes, the Franglish.
Broken French. Keep it at that. Franglish sounds too good.
Mm-hmm.
Hope we don't have any listeners from Quebec, because I apologize.
That's fine. I'm from Quebec. I'm not offended. But I'm also like I'm the problem. I'm the guy that comes in here speaking English and starts
taking
away their
precious French. How much French do you know to this point?
Their precious.
How much
French
do you even know? Let's have a French conversation.
Enough to get by.
Okay, let's have a conversation. Like,
I can go
in French.
No, I don't want to.
You know, you could have said like four words.
Only because you're not capable.
Oh, okay. I'm sure that's what it is.
No, I'm just very not confident in my French accent at this point.
Test it.
I sound so English.
Yeah, but so do.
Qu'est-ce que tu veux parler?
Anglais.
Okay, let's speak English. Perfect. Perfect. Okay. That's enough. But you know what? This is honestly talking about Montreal and Quebec
Montreal.
Is such a good segue. Yes, it is such a good segue into talking about the Oakland A's because of the fact that Montreal lost the franchise and now the Oakland A's did.
We're doing Oakland.
But no, we're not going to. This is not. We're doing two different recording sessions. We're going to start with some other stuff here in this episode. But if you want to hear about the Oakland A's, stay tuned because we got another episode coming out shortly.
Drum roll.
About A's to where? You'll find out in that episode.
I mean, if you watch baseball and pay attention to anything at all in general,
you already know
where they're going. But that we knew where they were going like 5 years ago. It's just a matter of time.
That's true. We've got some shit to talk about, though. If you're interested in, like, relocation stuff too. We back in season one, episode three, we did a relocation episode. So that was a fun one. That was actually one of my favorites.
We need to do a part two of that if we could. Even.
Yeah, I mean, beyond Vegas, now like one of them is hit already. Spoiler alert. And you know, we had a couple other possible destinations that we included in that. So yeah, you should go check it out if you're interested. But I definitely agree, Isaac. I think we could do an updated version of that. There's been more swirlings of other expansion cities and stuff like that. So we could do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's get into today's topics. Let's start with our buddy, our friend, the old beloved, old trusted, old faithful, Max Scherzer.
Mad Max.
Is a cheater?
Fuck.
What do you think? Is he a
you
cheater?
Know what? This whole scenario made me think that Domingo Germán was actually not cheating, and he just really had a lot of rosin and sweat on him. Because that's kind of, it's, you know, that's what Max Scherzer wouldn't have been that angry and that obsessive with the topic if it wasn't just that. And if anybody doesn't need it, it's Max Scherzer. He's done a whole career. His spin rates didn't significantly drop when that got truly enacted. So I do believe him that it could be a combination, but they're saying it's stickier than usual. But that was the umpire that is really saying that, and we know all about Phil Cuzzy. So
yeah. So for those of you that aren't in the loop, Max Scherzer, legend, Hall of Famer, Max Scherzer, is the third player to get ejected for a sickie substance since they implemented the bans. I know that I kind of struggled through that word for some reason. Sticky substance. But coincidentally, or definitely not coincidentally, Phil Cuzzy has been the umpire for all three of these ejections. He's been the one that's made the decision. So the first one, I think, was like Caleb Smith or something. Someone for the...
shout out Lefty.
Yeah, I think he was the first one. And then there was also that... Like Hector or something? Hector Santiago, yeah, relief pitcher. Cheated, though. Yeah, confirmed twice, I think.
That
right?
One was real. Caught. That, to be fair, yeah. We shouldn't throw Phil Cuzzy under the bus for that one, because that one definitely happened.
Yeah. And then finally now, Max Scherzer. You know, one of the interesting things, Isaac, though, is with that reliever, they took his glove. Like, I remember them taking his glove and, like, putting it in a plastic bag.
Right.
And taking it away, right, to like, a lab to get it tested. And, like, when it got tested, they confirmed that it was, like, an illegal substance that wasn't sweat and rosin. So my question is, why is this not happening? Why aren't they just taking Max's glove?
Because they know they fucked up.
And testing it.
They know they fucked up.
For a substance.
They know they fucked up.
So then, what the hell is the MLB doing? They're so determined to just back their umpires that they're giving the best pitcher on the New York Mets a 2-game suspension, essentially. A 10-day suspension is what he's been given. And it's... like, that's 2 starts. He's missing 2 starts.
Well, clearly the umpire union is stronger than the players union. Because if they were at the same level as the players union, they would not even be there at this point. So, mm-hmm. it's kind of funny. And there's no point like, he can't appeal because it's not a neutral arbitrator either. It's an MLB-sanctioned arbitrator. Like, obviously... That's why he dropped the appeal.
You saw that? Yeah.
That's why he's like, yeah, I'm not appealing this. There's no point. It's just going to delay the suspension, and he's still going to miss... he might miss 3 starts instead of 2 starts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, he said that if it went to a neutral arbitrator, he would definitely appeal it because he thinks that it would be cut and dry. He'd be fine. But because it's between the MLB... and him, basically, he said the MLB is obviously going to side with their umpires, the guys that they have to back, the people that are policing this rule that they want.
Especially, they will go against. And it seems like there's always been a war between the players and the actual league. And mm-hmm. Max Scherzer being a representative of the players' union is a conflict of interest for the MLB, and they want to degrade his character by calling him a cheater. So it's a lose-lose for Max.
Yeah. Okay, well, Isaac, do you believe him?
I do believe him.
Do you think it was just sweat and rosin?
I do believe him. I remember, like, Lord help me, I don't like saying this man's name because this man is a whole level of annoying.
He's a guy playing in Japan.
And still doing his celebrations and, like, spring training Japan and Japanese minor leagues, whatever. He's a clown. Trevor Bauer demonstrated the, like, as soon as they started banning the sticky substances, he stuck a ball to his hand and just held it like this. Like, the ball was like, how do you describe it? Was just so hanging.
Isaac
was hanging
has
off his hand. If you're not
it
watching.
Was hanging,
it was
yeah.
just hanging off his
gravity
hand.
Was not
his
pulling it off
was
of his
flat.
Hand.
It was just sitting there like it was duct taped to his hand. And it was just sweat and rosin. And he was saying, that's how sticky you can make your hand with sweat and rosin. So that's why, like, I do believe it. His hand was just overly sticky. The man was just sweating buckets, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, and, I mean, you look at the back of his neck.
Yeah.
And you look at the back of his neck, and he is... dripping with sweat. You can see the shine.
And look,
So
And a guy like Max Scherzer, it's like he has a proven track record of success without cheating. So like a veteran pitcher like that, that hasn't had any form of controversy or anybody targeting him about cheating ever, that it's like you give the benefit of the doubt to him in that situation. Because he seems to be a guy that plays the game true to form.
Yeah. He's an old school type of guy. He doesn't need it. He's coming right after you with everything.
We gotta be careful when we say old school type of guy, because old school types of guy was everybody was using steroids.
That's fair.
And Nolan Ryan pitched for 20 years throwing gas. That didn't exist. That wasn't real. Like, it didn't happen the way it happened. So,
But the thing is, he even said in the interview, like, I swear on my kid. He was telling us that he was telling Phil, I swear on my kid's life, this is nothing but sweat and rosin. It's sweat and rosin. And you can clearly see, if you go watch the video of him basically getting ejected, that you can see him saying that. He's not lying about it.
He's all...
I don't think, like, who's swearing on their kids' lives?
Especially if... Sorry, go ahead.
If he actually wasn't using sweat and rosin, he could have just said, like, I swear, you know? But to put it on your children's lives, I'm sorry, I believe him.
Yeah, and I feel like...
That's some Kevin Gates shit also. I saw a comment, someone saying this is Kevin Gates of of the MLB.
I also feel like Max Scherzer is a guy to live and die by that saying, too. Like, if he's swearing on his kids' lives, it's a fact. That's it. Like, he's not doing that. He looks like a guy that believes in karma. It's just like, look, we know he's always been short-tempered and very competitive, but it was a whole different type of reaction to this one. This one was like genuine shock and like just powerless and just, it was brutal. Cause I remember I was golfing, actually, first round of the year, horrible. But I got the notification Max Scherzer got ejected for sticky substances. I was like, what the fuck? I was just like taken aback and I didn't look into it. I was like, there's gotta be something up. And then I get home and I watch the video. I'm like, well, my suspicion was correct. This was not really fair. But is do what you can against the Mets is what just MLB wants to just take them away. So
I don't understand why, really. I mean, I was actually talking to Jasmine about this before, about how she's like, I was telling her about Vladdy and the Yankees yesterday, and she brought up the fact she thought that the Yankees were the team that, like, the players were booing the Yankees fans. But it was actually the Mets fans. Like, remember Lindor and Baez booing the Mets fans?
Yeah,
that was
like
fantastic.
The greatest moment in
So, I mean,
Mets
we've talked shit about their franchise, and they're not their franchise necessarily, but their fan base before.
Yeah.
But
they're passionate.
They are.
Yankees fans would probably do the same. Oh, speaking of, since we're on Vladdy in New York for a second, Vladdy doubled down yesterday. I guess when you watch it, he doubled down on Friday. With his comments saying that he will never play for the Yankees. He never wants to be a Yankee. And he said for family reasons. So that's as direct as he'll get. And he hits a home run in the first inning. Thank you, Apple TV. Thank you, MLB. Fuck the MLB. Because we couldn't even watch the game without a subscription. You buy MLB TV, you can't watch the game. Like, what is that? You pay how much money for MLB TV, and it's like, go subscribe to Apple TV. We're not doing that.
It's like $150
a year. Bro, we got
Netflix,
we got Disney Plus, we got Prime. We don't have time for Apple TV. Anyways.
I also just don't want to, it's not even like the $8, like to pay $8 to watch a game for 1 month. I get it, but it's like I also just don't want to be giving into it.
Yeah.
Cuz if you are running up the numbers of like subscriptions coming in, they're just going to keep doing it every year because they're making money off
Instead
of it. I was like, fuck it, man. I'm just going to listen to it on the radio. Old school last night. Listen to my boy Ben Wagner. I enjoyed it. But, I mean, obviously, when you're seeing, like, you're hearing Vlad is hitting a mammoth home run, or, you know, you're watching, listening to Yusei Kikuchi dice up the New York Stankies.
It ain't the same.
I wish I could have.
I don't know how they did in the 50s.
I wish I could.
Back to my story, though.
But all of the big plays came out
as
highlights after.
Back to my fucking story. Sorry, I've been cursing a lot on this one. It's built up.
That's okay. This is an explicit podcast.
I'm at war with a beaver on a golf course. That is, yeah.
That's where this is coming from.
It keeps blocking our pawns and trying to flood our course. Anyways, so Vladdy hits a home run.
That's probably the most Canadian thing we've ever said on this podcast.
Yeah, literally.
I'm at war with the beaver.
Vladdy hits a home run in the first inning, and this is after his statement. And then in the ninth inning, they're up 6-1, and he gets hit by a fastball, stares down this pitcher. And then Anthony Rizzo comes up, doesn't like the way Vladdy's staring at the pitcher. It's like, bro, Vladdy should have started swinging at Rizzo there. I ain't gonna lie. How are you gonna back your pitcher in that? I get he's on your team, but how are you gonna call out Vladdy for getting hit by a fastball when it was clearly intentional and get mad at him for looking at him? Vladdy should have thrown a hook at Anthony Rizzo, because Anthony Rizzo is the quote-unquote class act of baseball. This is the stupidest thing that he could have done. Like, there's a point where you back your teammates, and then it's like, all right, well, he can look at him. Like, Vladdy's not going after him.
Yeah.
He's just looking at him. It's like, he can't hit him back. Like, if you...
I got a bone to pick also with Talkin' Baseball and John Boy Media, because I'm a fan of their content. As you know, they deliver all of the highlights that you're ever looking for. But yesterday, they, you know, and I mean, I understand why they do it. It gets more engagement. But they did, like, their post of, like, the Vlad clip as a collaboration with Talkin' Yanks. So, of course, the comment section of this post is just filled with Vlad Jr. hate. And, I mean, obviously, I got the Blue Jays bias. I got to defend my boy. But let's be real here for a second. It's 6-1 game. It's the ninth inning. He's hit a home run in the game. He said, like, prior to the game or, like, in the days leading up to it, again, reaffirming that he hates the Yankees. And he gets hit in a 6-1 game in the ninth inning with nobody on base.
By a fastball.
That's... Exactly. That's, like, come on. That you can... You can't 100% assume that it was intentional, but you can definitely question it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of evidence that would lead to that. Like, you know, and Yankees fans like that shit. They want him to get hit by the pitch. They hate Vlad in that scenario.
They hate anyone.
And
that
I understand
you
why.
You should know. I don't understand why not everyone wants to be a Yankee. Like, I don't want to be a
no. No, I know. But if you're... Okay, Isaac, hold on. If tables are turned here, you have, like, Aaron Judge constantly saying he hates the Blue Jays.
He doesn't want
to
play
in
Toronto.
He owns the Blue Jays. He wants to destroy the Blue Jays. He'd never play in Toronto.
Yeah, see,
and then
that's valid.
He gets drilled by a pitch, and you're not kind of like...
You know
okay.
why I wouldn't get mad at anybody for saying they don't want to play in Toronto? Same reason for New York. I don't want to be in that city. It's too big. Too much going on. Yankee fans, if I'm on a slump, they're going to boo me. I don't want to shave my fucking beard. That's ridiculous. If you have to shave your beard, you have no freedom. Like, there's no freedom if you have if you can't have
that
a
beard. That
seems
like human rights violation to me.
Be as you are. Like, nah, not allowed. But I understand, from another perspective, if they don't want to be Blue Jay, why do you want to make a lot less money? You get paid in Canadian dollars. Absolute
That's
stupidity.
Fair.
Why would you want that? Instead of 40 million, you need to ask for 50 million. Nah. Like, no, you don't want to be a Blue Jay for that reason. So, I understand
don't
if Aaron Judge was that.
Don't say that.
Isaac,
we've already confirmed that the stars of the MLB listen to this podcast. So, if you're going to say that, you're
our team
doing
is
the Blue Jays a disservice.
Our team is star-packed already. And Vladdy said he is happy
with
Canadian dollars by saying, I want to spend my whole career in Toronto. Because it's all he's known. At this point in his career, he only has been paid in Canadian dollars, so he's happy with it. We got to lock them down early. Before they get paid, it's like, yeah, be happy with these ones. And, yeah, but we haven't locked him down even yet, so that's ridiculous. But, yeah, that whole situation is wild. And Manoah.
Moral of the story, beef. And, yeah, now we got Manoah and Cole.
On Saturday, Manoah is going to drill somebody, for sure. Has to. That's Manoah.
It's got to be like his last last guy he's facing, right? So because he's gonna get tossed,
bro.
And then he's gonna get suspended.
If anybody is actually going to start a fight on the Blue Jays, it is Alek Manoah. Vladdy is not that. Mm-hmm. Vladdy is like he obviously is a competitor, but he seems like a gentleman. Like Manoa, I remember the Blue Jays were running like a story about Manoa, and they were talking about how he got in a fist fight with his brother over like a drive home, essentially. Like, he literally squared up with him. They were fighting, throwing fists at each other's faces. Like, Jacob, you and I...
Yeah, you used to do that to me all the time. Brothers do that all the time.
But no, like, they were in high school, and they literally were just, like, beating the shit out of each other. We didn't do that to that point.
No, not in high school. No. That was, like, when we were like, little. Below 10 years old. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. It made me a stronger man, you know? It
made me a weaker man, because I didn't have enough competition when I was little.
Wow. Wow, I'm ending this podcast. That's it. I'm cutting that out. Not actually. Fuck you.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't even want to segue now. I don't want to have a conversation with you anymore, you dick. That was a pretty good burn, though. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on. Talk about another star-packed team and a star? Question mark? Fernando Tatis Jr., Isaac, he has returned. You had some strong words to say in our last episode him, or was it the?
I don't even know.
I don't know. It was either the division awards or the.
My whole life is just about awards. Rambling things I half-heartedly believe in, and that was one of them. You know, I don't like what Tatis did. I do think him being back is exciting. I did want to hear him get drowned up by booze. But obviously, there was more San Diego fans in Arizona than Arizona fans. So he goes to like a real competitor, not saying they're not real competitors, but as of yet, they're not. He'll get booed, and then I'll be satisfied. But a big 0-for-5, solid start, as hoped for, not necessarily as expected, but as hoped. We'll see. We'll see what he does.
He's behind. You know, he's behind. He'll figure it out.
Yeah, but
I'm
a guy
sure.
that was batting like 600 and had like 7 home runs in 12 games on his rehab stint is pretty. It is, true. You know.
Yeah. Apparently he struck out twice, but he also hit 3 balls, and all 3 balls that he hit were over 102 miles per hour.
Oh, so, shit. I didn't watch it.
Some hard
contact. I
didn't
actually watch that game. You know what kind of like bothers me with the whole suspension stuff? I don't think you should be able to go on a rehab stint until your 80 games is done.
100% agree with that. I thought it was weird, too.
Yeah, and that's how it's always
done. You shouldn't be able to participate in major league activity until your suspension is up.
Because
you should have
league.
The punishment of being
league.
Behind,
yeah, you
right?
should. You should be 80 games, and then, well, if they want to send you on a rehab stint, they can. Or if you want to come up super cold to the majors, you also can do that. And like other leagues, there's no rehab stints. And I get baseball takes a little more to work out and get out the timing. But other sports don't have that. I feel like you serve your 80 games. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't come back prepared. You should come back after serving 80 games from steroid suspension at the bottom. You need to fix yourself in the majors. You should be punished to the max.
I have questions for you, Isaac, about the San Diego Padres fan base, because we know that their games are fun. They get pretty wild, but a lot of this new fan base is new. They're young. They are seemingly proving themselves on a lot of social media to be, and this is great also, by the way. Don't take this the wrong way if you're a Padres fan and you're new to the game. It's great that you got into baseball recently on guys like based on all of the great things that the Padres have been doing. That's exactly what should happen with a small market franchise. They make a big boom. They get a whole bunch of people into the game. We want more people into the game. But they are kind of starting to annoy me a little bit just in the way that they welcomed Fernando Tatis back. I don't know, Isaac, if you watched any of it, but there were signs everywhere. He got like a standing ovation from the Padres faithful, the Friars faithful, with signs everywhere saying like, welcome back. People were super emotional, so happy that he's back, like welcoming him back with open arms. This is a guy that's coming back from a PED suspension.
Yeah, okay.
Like, When Alex Rodriguez came back from his PED suspension, well
it's Alex Rodriguez.
Which one?
It's Alex Rodriguez.
Which one? He had two. But he, I'm pretty sure, like, I don't remember 100%, but I think that the Yankees fans might have booed him. And, or at least, I don't remember him coming back and being welcomed to the extent that he was welcomed back. Yeah. And that, like, we have been in kind of a similar situation. We were the first, the Blue Jays were the first team that George Springer signed with. Well, I mean, still is. He came from the Astros scandal, being one of the people who benefited the most from the Astros scandal, to the Toronto Blue Jays. And I think that even despite that, I feel like he wasn't necessarily welcomed with open arms. He had to come in there and he had to prove that he had, you know, changed his ways, or he was at least like, he had to come in and prove something first. We weren't just opening him well, like a lot of, if you look in the comments and stuff at that time that he got signed, a lot of Blue Jays fans were like, I don't really like having the stained Astros player on the team. Obviously, I think enough time has passed now that people are beyond it. But I don't know, something about the way that the Padres fan base welcomed him back, saying welcome back after you're returning from a PED suspension, just kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
I think the Springer situation is vastly different from the Tatis situation, because Springer was not a Blue Jay until he signed with them. Like, he was never on that team. All the Jays fans knew about him was, well, he was on, he was part of this cheating scandal, when he was also one of the most remorseful on that team. As far as remorse goes, like, it happened and he won, he benefited from it. So how much remorse does he really have? Doesn't matter at this point. It's over. But I'm trying to look at it from a perspective. It's like, okay, well, what if your favorite player in baseball gets suspended? What if Randy Arozarena gets suspended for steroids tomorrow? Are you going to welcome him back? Are you going to be happy when he gets back? Because I know I would be. I would be cheering for him because I'm a Randy diehard at this point. And I think that's what happened with Tatis. Because Tatis, that whole young generation of fans would not have happened without Fernando Tatis. He was the most exciting guy to come up. He became the face of baseball incredibly quickly. And then he had all his injuries and then he got suspended. But he brought in this large fan base. And so why would they not welcome him back? If I was a San Diego Padre fan, if I was a Tatis fan from the beginning, I would probably back him as well and be excited that he's back. Mm-hmm. You get over it and you blind yourself and you just let the bias overrun you when you are passionate about somebody. And as far as like, and those are the worst double standards to have. Absolutely. Like A-Rod is, but, and the A-Rod situation is also different. Because Tatis had nothing. Everybody loved Tatis. Tatis was a positive person before he got suspended. Everybody was on his side. Mm-hmm. Nobody hated Tatis. But Alex Rodriguez was getting booed well before he got suspended. Like, that's the thing. It's like, we don't know necessarily. I'm trying to think of examples of stars that also got suspended for steroids in recent times, and there's not many of them.
Robinson Cano,
but it was a mixed bag for him too. I want to know if somebody is polarizing and like loved as Tatis. Robinson Cano was fantastic, an underrated player throughout his career, and he didn't have the stature that Tatis had. So
that's true.
I don't know.
It's true. It's hard to compare like in our lifetime, because the steroid era happened when we were like really young, like before we were really,
we were super babies
into, yeah, we were real young. So I feel like that's probably as far as you'd have to go back, and it's hard for us to give perspective on that because we weren't around during those times. And I mean, we are like, again, we've had many opinions on steroids and the players involved in steroids. If you want to go back and listen to our Barry Bonds debate, it's one of our favorite episodes. You should go listen to that. It's about if he should be in the Hall of Fame or not. But I feel like our perspective on it is a little bit different because we weren't there during the times. I feel like when you are immersed in the situation, you get more perspective. So it's kind of hard. And I think now, though, the fact that, like, it's so cut and dry, like, you can't use steroids, it's cheating. I think now it's, like, different. Like, now if you get caught, like, you're just a fucking cheater straight up. There's no way around it. So I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. I would like him to move past it. Like, I don't want the worst for Tatis by any means, because I think he's a super exciting player that's good for growing the game. But I do think that he deserves to kind of have be a little bit reprimanded and not be welcomed back with open arms. Like, be like, okay, well, we don't know how much of your past performance was steroid based. You got a pretty beneficial contract from times you may have been using steroids. So now it's like, okay, you got to come back and you've got to prove that you didn't need that, or it was a mistake. Like, I didn't mean to actually use it. It was for ringworm, you know, like all of that type shit. Like, you have to prove now, you have to come out and prove that you are the same guy you were before all of this scandal, to me.
Yeah. And like, I will happily boot Tatis when it comes to Toronto. He deserves it. But all I was trying to say is I understand the perspective of younger fans in San Diego that love Tatis and grew up on were growing up on Tatis. Like, it is what it is. Horrible thing that he did. There's no defending him whatsoever. And he should be reprimanded. If you guys hate, if you're a San Diego Padre fan, and you still boo Jose Altuve, if you boo the Astros, you are a hypocrite, though. Like, in reality. And we all do stuff like that, okay? Like, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, Toronto fans absolutely hated Kevin Kiermaier because of the scouting report gate. And then they bring him. I thought it was hilarious, but he got heavily booed in Toronto. Man got welcomed here with open arms. Like, it's just, our double standards are crazy. We're like, all right, never mind, he's gonna help us. And it's just like, all right, you see what you want, you boo one thing, you cheer for the same thing if it's in your favor. And that's what happens. It's just life.
That's true. It really all comes down to that.
It's always about life.
Just life.
Just life. Nothing good, nothing great about it. Here we go.
Well, next, and I think probably final topic for this episode, Isaac, let's just talk about someone whose life is not going as well as it once was, and that is Madison Bumgarner.
I would make a case that his life is better than ever.
Why? Because he doesn't have to play anymore? He's just rich and can just do whatever he wants?
He rides bulls. Now we can actually go ride bulls or something. That's what he does, right?
I guess so. So Madison Bumgarner recently was getting shelled in an outing and got upset at Wilson Contreras for swinging too hard at a pitch. Now, this is a trend that we've seen with Madison Bumgarner in the past. Max Muncy once hit an absolute tank off of him in San Francisco and got mad that he kind of pimped the homer a little bit. He was yelling at him all the way around the bases. I think later he hit him with a pitch, if I'm not mistaken, and there was a loud response from Max Muncy saying, you know, if you want the baseball back, go and get it out of the fucking bay or something like that. You know, he has been a grumpy old man basically his whole career.
Since he was 20.
And yeah, and it's got, I mean, he's 33. Yeah, he's not even like crazy old, you know? Isn't that wild?
He's the
like,
oldest.
He had so much success when
ever.
He was young. Yeah. He made his debut, Isaac, in 2009 when he was 19 years old. By 2010, he started 18 games for the Giants, and then he was basically a full-time player from the time he was 21 until now 33, and we're not exactly sure what direction his career is going to go from here. But
we'll see him at the
he's had a long career already.
Imagine just wanting to get rid of a guy so bad you just eat $35 million or some shit.
So
like, we'd rather rather pay you to not be on the roster.
I know, it's pretty wild. He has a falling out with Wilson Contreras or whatever. Not a falling out, because I don't know if they were ever friends, but he gets mad about it. You know, people are kind of roasting him, being like, he's literally the softest dude ever. He took a swing too hard and you're annoyed. Also, he had got shelled, like absolutely shelled. What was it? A day after, 2 days after the start, he has a meeting.
Sorry.
With his spider.
No, there's an ant walking across my desk.
Oh my God, you are such a bitch. What a distraction.
Sorry.
I don't even know where I was apologize. Now. This ant has sabotaged the podcast. what was I saying? They called him into for a meeting or whatever, and they let him know that he's gonna get DFA'd. They were gonna have a conversation about it, and next thing we know, he's DFA'd. So apparently that conversation didn't go well. And he's done. He is no longer a Diamondback. He has been designated for assignment, which means that he could, if no one claims him off waivers, he could go to the minor leagues, right?
Well, he could sign. He could just get released. He can sign with any team for the major league minimum.
For league minimum. Yeah.
I mean, he can make two salaries, essentially, even though the one's the league minimum. You know what's funny to me, though, is like, he must be just the biggest jackass off the field as well. When you're a veteran on a rebuilding team, you usually see, even if they're getting shelled, they just keep him on the roster because they can still help out.
He's like
and you're just
a mentor for the young
players.
And you're
just a rotation filler at that point. It is what it is. You're still paying him either way. Like, so why don't you just give him a start? So you're not going to make the playoffs. Whatever, he could sit in a coaching role, but. To put more context into the Wilson Contreras situation, too, like, if we didn't explain it all the way, he took a swing and fouled it off and yelled, like, I don't even know if it was out of frustration. He yelled, like, immediately after. It was almost like a reactionary noise that he made that was not directed to anybody. And Madison Bumgarner got angry at him. It was, like, cursing him out. And then Contreras...
Shut the fuck up,
and Contreras
you
was
pussy.
Just, yeah,
that's
literally
what he
that.
Said.
And Contreras was just like, what the fuck? And then, so of course, Mad Bum walked him. And then nice little bat flip from Contreras out of spite, which was fantastic.
Yeah, that was great.
It was like, what he did was completely unprovoked. And we've seen this time and time again throughout Madison Bumgarner's career. And there's a difference. We love energy. We love people like getting into it, getting competitive. I liked Juan Soto's mind games even. It's just Madison Bumgarner is just an unhinged human being. Speaking of, like, that movie Unhinged, if anyone has ever seen it, is a guy that went on a rampage after road rage. That is literally Madison Bumgarner's future life story.
Wow, that seems harsh.
You don't want to be on the same road. You do not want to cut off Madison Bumgarner. Simple as that. If you cut him off, it's over for you.
That's fair. He's also said in the past, people have asked him, like, why are you so angry about, like, bat flipping and stuff? And he kind of said, I don't know. It just bothers
exactly.
me. Exactly. Like, he can't even identify where the anger comes from, but it flips a switch and he gets
mad. It's
not
out of,
And he can't control it.
It's not even out of the gentlemanship or whatever of the game, of the sport itself. He doesn't care about that. It just bothers him. Things that bother him slightly set him off. So that's what I'm saying. If you cut him off in the road, it's over for you. For sure.
I think that's enough about that conversation. The only thing I want to touch on now, it's okay. The only thing I want to touch on, Isaac, is the, like, Madison Bumgarner's career. And just give some perspective on how things have transpired. So, from 2009 to 2019, he had a 313 ERA, a 120 ERA plus. What are his strikeouts at? I think he had like 17, almost 1,800 strikeouts. Just a really, really, really good career. Obviously, everyone always points to him being one of the best postseason pitchers of all time. If you actually look it up, obviously he won, four rings or three rings
also
with them?
Postseason
three rings.
MVP and World Series MVP. I think that was
exactly. He has like... a postseason career kind of like none other. It's really, really impressive. How many innings has he pitched? He's pitched 102 innings in postseason baseball. That's like damn near an entire season. of baseball in the postseason. Like, it's super impressive.
Half of Sandy Alcantara season.
Okay. But despite that, he goes to the Arizona in 2020. From 2020 to... why is it doing this to me?
I don't know. I think COVID set him off, though. Because that's when he went off.
2020 to 2023. He goes to the... Oh, my God. Dude, it's bad.
Yes.
His ERA in his 4 years with the... not well, it's less than 4 years. But with the D-backs, 5.23 ERA, a 1.379 whip, 5.18 FIP, and an 80 ERA plus. He has been bad, like real bad for them. So it's kind of wild. Like you consider the, you know, people are like, wow, they just DFA'd like a legend. Well, he was a legend in San Francisco. He is basically just a trash pitcher with the Arizona. He has like no good memories from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting. Like normally people will switch teams and have some sort of memories with each team. Good things happened in Arizona that like what highlight pack are they playing if he comes back to Arizona?
Fair. In another case, like Anthony Rendon's career highlight in LA has been swinging at a fan.
That's true.
Like, it happens occasionally. But I do see that. It's unfortunate because he was absolutely an incredible pitcher. And he looked like he could have been Hall of Fame track at one point. But
yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? He needs to change a scenery. I don't think it's over. I don't think it's over.
You think he's gonna sign with another team?
I hope so, in a way. I just hope he like
we need that. Anger management. We need that anti-hero. Yeah. The super.
But villain. I also do think I kind of wonder though. He did what he did in baseball, then went to Arizona's like retirement. He stopped caring about baseball, because he does have. If you look into him, he has a lot of like side hobbies and stuff, like ranching. He's like Yoenis Cespedes of the North.
Well, I'm pretty sure he like broke his arm or something in a dirt biking accident.
That's what I'm saying. He's like Yoenis Cespedes of the North. Like, how did Cespedes break his leg again? Or ankle?
He was on, I think it was like jumping off a horse or something, trying to catch a fucking
ranch. Something crazy on his ranch. And he's of the North. But yeah. But Cespedes is flashy. Malbum is angry.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that about does it for this episode, Isaac. It's now time to thank the people.
Wow.
For listening. Follow us on Instagram at Diamond Gems Podcast. Follow us at Shaped by Sports. And like, subscribe, leave a kind review if you enjoyed this episode. Check us out on YouTube. Shaped by Sports is the channel. Isaac.
Andrew McCutchen is MVP.
Is this foreshadowing for another episode?
No. We did that episode.
Okay.